You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
Comics and movies to talk about, but first in the news, Tony Scott, director, famous Hollywood director, his brother is Ridley Scott. Tony Scott himself directed a lot of big films, like Top Gun. He just jumped off a bridge. He just jumped off a bridge and killed himself out here in Los Angeles. He said without hesitation, he got out of his car, climbed the fence, and jumped off the bridge in San Pedro out here. He directed Numbers, or one episode of Numbers. I think he produced the show, but more importantly, Hollywood films, Man on Fire, Unstoppable, Taking of Pelham, 1, 2, 3. Dang, those are all Denzel Washington movies. Why didn't he just make Denzel Washington call? Why didn't nobody call Denzel Washington Tony Scott's Robert De Niro? Or how Martin Scorsese works with Leonardo DiCaprio all the time. Why don't they say, oh, it's the Tony Scott Denzel Washington duo? Is the hit-making duo, but they don't do that, huh? Why don't they do that? Because Denzel's black? Why? Anyway, my point is, damn, man. Let me name some of these movies he did. He did The Hunger, a horror vampire film from the early 80s. He did Clay Pigeon, RKO 281, Hostage. Oh, no, that's a shorter movie. Let me get a good list here. He helped produce his brother's Prometheus. That might not be a good one to for him to be remembered by. Here, let me get a better list. Okay, Top Gun, Deja Vu, Domino. Domino is the one that I was an extra in that movie, but I was an extra in the scene with where people were watching a TV show with Monique on a talk show, and it was a comedy bit, and I was one of the people in the audience of the talk show. So I remember that. I remember that movie. That was a fun little shoot. It was short. Monique was cool. She was nice. I got to react off of one of her lines. Of one of the people in the audience who had lines, I got to react off of them. And Tony Scott came out with his hot wife. His hot wife. He was in his early 60s then. His wife, you know, she looked like she could have been anywhere from late 20s to mid 30s. Hot blonde wife. And she came out with the two little blonde boys, two little blonde kids. At the time, they were real young kids. I was like, damn, this old motherfucker is just banging. He was, you know, he's vital, full of life. And directing, he's like, okay, do this, do that. And I'm surprised because that was like a scene that didn't really need the main director there. They could have had like one of the, one of the assistant directors do that because it was just a little thing that goes on television and it was a short shoot. I'm surprised that he was the one directing it. But yeah, man, he was cool, man. But why, if you got that hot young wife, got two young sons, your career is still going gangbusters, you're healthy at the age of 68, why you jump off? Now, I hate to be speculating. Well, here's a speculation that is probably totally wrong, but what are you thinking? Because this is what I'd be thinking, be like, I'm going to be in my 70s, and I'm going to be, after that, I'm going to my 80s. But right now, I'm still healthy, vital. Maybe I just end it right now and just don't think about it. So I won't have to think about when I get too old. I could just die now in the blaze of glory. Because they said he got out of the car, went up to the fence with no hesitation, climbed over and just jumped. Okay, he wasn't crying out for help or nothing. He just jumped. Like, damn. But that is... Oh, he also did Crimson Tide. I saw that. Let me see. Talk about the ones I saw. I saw Top Gun, but I didn't get it because I saw it as a kid, so it didn't do nothing for me. Beverly Hills Cop 2, I remember that. I like that a lot. The Last Boy Scout, I remember being excited about that because Bruce Willis and my favorite comedian, Damon Wayans, were co-starring together. Bruce Willis was my favorite actor. So I was like, yeah, but you know, that movie was a piece of garbage. True Romance, I liked it, especially that last action scene. Crimson Tide, I liked it. The Fan with Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro, that was garbage. I didn't see Enemy of the State. Don't give a fuck about that. Let's see here. I didn't see Spy Game. Man on Fire, thought it was overrated. Didn't really like it. I was bored. Domino, I didn't see that. And Unstoppable. Now, Unstoppable, I thought was great. And Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, the remake, I like that too. I like that a lot too. And I used to be an extra on Numbers. You know, I thought that was okay, the ones I seen. But damn, man, damn. Damn, damn, damn. Anyway, Tony Scott, rest in peace. What else is going on? Oh, James Gunn is in talks to direct the Marvel movie Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't wait. I was like worried about it, but now with James Gunn, you know, it's still, I don't know if it's going to be a good movie or not, but I feel more relieved now that I know that he is in the director's chair. I liked Super. No, I did not like Super better than Kick-Ass. No way. I don't understand why people like Super better than Kick-Ass. If Kick-Ass wasn't around and Super was made 10 years ago, then I probably would love Super. But I like Super a lot. But Slither, I don't like just because it depressed me. I liked it, but it was too creepy, too convincing to me. I was too depressed, but I thought that it was well executed. Cinematography and some of the choices he made with the camera was excellent. Tony Gunn, he knows his stuff. He did Lollipop Chainsaw, the video game. He was responsible for the story of that. That doesn't appeal to me, but his movies were good. He worked with, I think it was Troma. Dang, I can't remember if it was Lloyd. I think it was Troma who he worked with. So he knows what to do. He knows what to do. But the article here says, the downside to selecting Gunn for this sort of project is obvious. He never dealt with anything on nearly this scale in terms of budget, action, or digital effects. Shut the fuck up, writer. Just shut the fuck up, okay? First of all, he has dealt with that scale digital effects on Slither. There was a lot of digital effects. But no, it wasn't, maybe it's not as big as what's going to have to be in that movie. But he knows what to do. He knows what to do with all that shit. You know, Slither is complicated enough with digital effects for him to qualify for that. As far as everything else, the big sets and the budget, he knows what to do. James, this is the kind of movie he's been waiting for, so I can't wait, and I'm pretty sure that he is a big time comic book fan. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'd still much rather see Guardians of the Galaxy movie be made than Black Panther. Fuck Black Panther. Okay, and the cartoon was overrated too. People were saying the little animation, quote unquote animated Black Panther series that was on BET. Or supposed to be on BET. I saw it on the internet. They said that was great. It wasn't great. It was halfway decent. Okay, but I don't care about Black Panther or Ant-Man being made. Guardians of the Galaxy. is the movie that I am excited about right now, the comic book movie. Yes, yes, yeah, boy. All right, what's next? Next review is a review I've been wanting to do for some time because I saw the movie, so I might as well go through and talk about it. It's a comic book related movie called Comic Book Villains from 2002. I'm not going to mention the director because I didn't write the director's name down. I must not have thought it was that important because, you know, I think I should find the director just so we can avoid, seeing his movies. Go see Tony Scott's movies, but don't go see this director's movies. The director of Comic Book Villain, a movie starring Donald Logue, DJ Qual, and Michael Rapaport. Yeah. Now, the Comic Book Villain is a movie says told from a first person story point view of a comic book collector about basically it's a rivalry between two comic book shop owners. There's an old woman whose son just died, and he was a collector all his life. He was like 50, 60 year old man, so he collected stuff from way back in the 60s and 50s. And there's a legendary collection that this man owned. Now that he's dead, it's up for grabs. They just got to get it from the way from the old lady, and the two comic book rivals go after each other. The one of the rivals is Donald Logue, who is DJ Qual's friend. DJ Qual plays Archie. Archie is a comic book collector. He goes to Raymond, who is Donald Logue. He goes to his shop a lot. And then there's the rival shop owners, husband and wife, played by Michael Rapaport and Natasha Lyonne. Michael Rapaport just always gets on my motherfucking nerves. He's the white guy. He always plays roles of the white guy who's trying to be black until he saw money and saying, okay, forget all this white guy who plays black roles. I'm going to start playing the regular white guy because that's what white people can do when they're actors. They can switch it up. Black people, we ain't getting hired no matter what. Anyway, let me read from my little notes here. What did it say? What were my notes about this when I first saw this movie, this horrible, horrible movie? I wrote that I get a pang in my side when movies that I wanted to make 20 years ago but were too lazy to make, they end up getting made by some determined filmmaker guy. And it annoys me. But I feel better when those movies fail. It's the quicker pick-me-upper. This movie here comes off like a knockoff of a Pulp Fiction knockoff. The movie is about, as I told you before, two comic book store owners battling over the incredible comic book collection of a recently deceased collector. Donald Logue's character is not relatable. Think of the Simpsons comic book guy, but without any good character traits whatsoever. The other comic book store owners played by Rapaport and I just forgot her name already. That's Natasha Lyonne, and she's pretty good. Their husband and wife. And this is the thing. This is one of those movies where otherwise average people have the opportunity to make a lot of money, but upon coming close to getting the treasure and then find out that they're not going to get it, they suddenly turn into psychopaths as if that was some kind of hidden character trait all their lives up until this point. Rapaport and his wife were like normal people, and she didn't even care about getting the comic book collection until he told her about money one night, and then she just started to go insane in her mind because it started out with this thing where she wanted to have a baby with her husband, and hey, if they get money, he's ready to have a baby if they get all this money. But the main reason not to see this movie is because DJ Qualls and his punchable face. He plays this role like Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker with even more chromosomes missing. His face is uncannily smooth, yet emaciated, and his nose comically elongated. The guy has a face like a hobbit. He's supposed to be the character that we identify with because Archie's parents died when he was little, and he's a nice guy. But he's barely in the movie, and only as a narrator, even though he's never there on the scene, so I don't know what the fuck how he's narrating this because he wasn't in most of the movie. So when there's a big payoff for his character at the end of the movie, we don't give a shit. Now, the old lady who has possession of the comic book collection, ultimately, she's a shitty bitch. She doesn't want to sell her son's comics, despite the fact that she hates them. And she acted like she hated him when he was alive because he was a no-good loser. Only thing he did was collect stuff. Okay, fine. That's her prerogative, though, not to sell the comic books. But why would she let the two competitors hang around her house and do chores for her when she knows full well that they're full of shit and she doesn't want to have anything to do with them? So fuck her. There's no sympathy for her. No sympathy even when she befriends DJ Qualls' character who runs errands for her on behalf of Donald Logue. Their scenes are meant to be heartwarming, but they're cliche, they're cynical, because they're uninspired. Now, let me give you an example of this filmmaker's idea of comedy. Natasha Lyonne is sitting outside her car, sitting outside in her car, right outside the old lady's house, right after the old lady dissed her one more time. Then she sees her mortal enemy, Donald Logue, walking across the street. She slams her foot on the gas and hits him with her car. That's right, she hits him with a motor vehicle, and it's played for laughs. This is the perfect example of the mean-spirited tone of this movie. You need to skip this fucking movie. And I only want to get into all the extra characters in here. Let's see a character who's a badass, this badass dude. I'm trying to remember who he is. I can't find the actor's name. But there's another actor in here who plays like this badass. And it's like he has nothing to do with either characters until we see him early on in the movie just being a badass. But then later on, he's hired by Donald Logue and they know each other. And it's like, why couldn't y'all have told us that before? It's just the same complaints that they have for Hector Hammond's character and how we find out halfway through the movie that he knew Hal Jordan. It's the same thing here. And all of a sudden, the badass character who's hired to be a hitman, all of a sudden, he has a hankering for comic books. He's a comic book lover, even though it wasn't specified all through the movie, like 40 minutes of the movie. He didn't give a damn about a comic book, but all of a sudden he becomes a comic book collector and he loves comic books. And we're supposed to be interested in his give and take with Donna Logue. Not to mention the wife of the formerly innocent wife, who now becomes a psychopath who tried to kill Donald Logue, becomes a fucking murderous killer at the end of the movie, and it doesn't make sense. I hated movies like this in the 90s. Movies like Very, Very Bad Things and a ton of other movies where you see 15, 16 characters and they're all pointing guns at each other. It's that type of movie, but with comic books. The only good thing in this movie, the only good special effect that saves, that doesn't save the movie, it's the thing that doesn't make it a waste of time. And that's the comic books. They talk about this guy's comic book collection, okay, and about 20 to 30 minutes in, they actually show it. I'm like, yeah, show it. It's going to be Action Comics with Superman, The Amazing Fantasy with number 17, and the first Batman story in Detective Comics, you know, the usual bullshit. But no, it wasn't that. Neither one of those comics were in here. But these were comics from the 50s and 60s. They were S.H.I.E.L.D. and all kinds of comics that I never knew. I was like, oh my God, that either I never knew existed or characters that we all love but were never A-list characters, but they had their own comic books. And you've seen them all spread out in this room. And I'm like, I want to read all those fucking comics. That's the only good thing in this movie, basically. So please, skip comic book villains if you were thinking about it. Just don't even waste your time. So I think that's been the show. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening to my rambling here. Even me trying to find my notes and all that stuff. Hey, I'm trying to do it live. Check out the website, thumcast.blogspot.com. Also, if you're trying to, you know, want to send me an email privately, blackpun2000@yahoo.com. Ask questions about comics, fandom, whatever I can, you know, questions I can answer. Until next time, peace.